because data and information are what govern policy.
Lastly, I just want to talk about the vaccine update of last week, which is also showed that this Johnson & Johnson vaccine is very important. It's in phase three. They are looking to enroll more participants than any of the other vaccines. So they're looking to do 60,000 participants. But there's two very clear things that I want you guys to be aware of. One is that it's a one-dose vaccine, at least that's what they're testing now, as opposed to two doses. And then the other thing is that it does not require sub-zero refrigeration.
Which is really big,
that it only requires just a standard fridge that does not require these minus 70 degrees that some of these other vaccines are doing. So some good news there.
Yeah, we don't want to forget the scale of things. Folks, the simple things that might cost an extra $100 here or there for a sub-zero refrigerator is a resource that has to be replicated all over the world when we're thinking about this. So yeah, the little things matter.
Not only that, but also it would be a lot easier to do 7.8 billion doses than 7.8? So that's 15.
It's 15.6.
So anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with our regular show. Doc Riggs, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Noise Filter Daily Podcast. Dr. Derry and I have a daily show at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time where we go into more detail on stories and answer your questions about COVID-19.
You can find Doc Griggs at DocGriggs1.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available at our website. The Personnel Committee meets on the second Monday of the month at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Voices for Justice and Radical Healing. From Tuesday, October 6th through October 15th, streaming online. Voices for Justice and Radical Healing is an online speaker series in support of Living Yoga's trauma-informed services. Speakers will explore ways to create healing for individuals, systems, and culture through body-based practices. Again, that's Voices for Justice and Radical Healing from Tuesday, October 6th through October 15th, streaming online. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Holla! Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unions segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt. I am a member of the American Federation State, County, and Municipal Employees Retirees Union and the current president of the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. Tonight, I am joined by my sisters in this struggle.
Hi, I'm Dr. Audrey Terrell. I'm retired from the international staff of the UAW in Detroit, and I'm also the vice president of the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Union and the president of the Dr. Audrey Terrell Institute.
Good evening, all. This is Deborah Hall, and I am a retired member of the American Federation of Teachers and also the current secretary-treasurer for the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unions. Thank you.
So our guests tonight are two representatives of the Electrical Workers Minority Caucus and officers of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Keith Edwards and Kenitha Wade. Ms. Wade is the president of the Electrical Workers Minority Caucus. Tonight, our show will highlight a collaboration of EWMC and CBTU working on voter registration and a Get Out the Vote campaign for the 2020 general election. Welcome to our show. So, Sister Kenitha, tell our listeners a little bit about EWMC and yourself.
All right. Well, hello. I am Kenitha Wade, president of IBEW EWMC Local 48 in Portland, Oregon. The EWMC is the Electrical Workers Minority Caucus. It is a group that's focused on building and fostering leadership within all members, especially those minority members of the IBEW, in order to help increase participation in our members and our local unions, and to make sure our leadership kind of reflects what the membership looks like. I am an inside wireman, a journeyman electrician, and I have been a part of the EWMC since 2012. And, you know, the EWMC is just something that I love, that we give back to our community, not only to our members in the union, but we also give back to our community and make sure that we're trying to build a stronger community for everybody, not just union members. I think that it's important that we kind of lift each other up and try to give back wherever we can.
Sweet. So, Brother Edwards, what you been up to?
Well, I've been very busy of late, especially with this election. The National EWMC is working across the country on making sure that we get folks registered to vote. We have what we call a Campaign 2020. And Campaign 2020 is about voter registration, and it's about GOTV, which is Get Out the Vote, and also ensuring where we have polling places across the country that folks are able to cast their vote without being harassed or being intimidated, and also perhaps having a shelter, even if it's only an umbrella or something to make it easier for disabled and seniors to cast their votes.
Well, it sounds very similar to what CBTU is doing also nationally. I think they got their heads together and figure that we got to do it different this time. So it sounds like they are getting their resources together so that they can make sure that folks not only get out get out to register to vote, but also get out there to actually get out and vote.
Exactly. And CBTU has always been at the forefront of organized labor, as well as making sure that people of color are heard and their voices are heard, not only in organized labor, but throughout their communities and in this country. So CBTU has always been at the forefront.
Well, we enjoy working with you on this new little venture. Oregon has a past history of actually of having a pretty good turnout when it comes to election, particularly amongst union members. And so we just got to get out there and turn up the volume.
That's for sure.
So
what people of color need to know that their votes count, need to know that their voices can be heard. And, you know, November 3rd is a day that they can, they have, no one in this country has more power than any other person in this country, because we all have the power of the vote, and their voices need to be heard. That's the only day in this country that there is actual equity across the board, and we need to make sure that we exercise that.
So why is that equity so important in 2020?
It's most important in 2020 because of the things that the current president has done that's not only detrimental to organized labor, but detrimental to people of color, to women, to immigrants. It goes on and on. He's appointed over 180 some judges in the less than four years that he's been president. Those judges are very conservative. Those judges were going to be there an average of 16 years. So we're talking about 2036.
Wow.
If he gets another term, we're talking 2040.
Yeah.
And those judges are going to make decisions not only for our generation, but future generations that are going to impact them in a negative way.
Uh-huh.
And so we have to make sure that we're cognizant of that and make some changes. The Senate has to be changed as well. But we have to, like I say, look at the big picture and look at what's happening. You know, racism runs rampant through this country, and it's not only in police, it's not only in criminal justice, it's not only in employment, it's not only in unions, it's not only in education, it's not only in business or in financial entities. It's throughout this country, and we have to attack it everywhere it is and destroy it and get rid of the racism so that we can all have an equal opportunity and feel like we're equal citizens in this country.
So it sounds like you're saying black folks got to stand up.
We have to. We have to. And I look back only for reference, but in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, if black folks would have voted in the numbers that they were eligible to vote, we wouldn't have this person as president of the United States. A lot of things would be different, and a lot of things would be better for us.
It'd be a different kind of hot mess, huh?
It would. It would be way different.
So what are some of the goals of the campaign?
Our main goal is 100% voter turnout.
Okay.
And we want to make sure that every 100% of folks that are eligible to vote are registered, first of all. October 13th is the cutoff for being registered to vote in the state of Oregon. And they have to get registered, and then they have to make sure that they get educated. We want them to read their voter's pamphlet so they have a clear understanding of what the election is about. And the fact that they'll be voting not only for president, but they'll be voting for senator, they'll be voting for their congressperson, they'll be voting for state offices, statewide offices, as well as their senators in some areas, and certainly their state representatives. There's a mayor's race that's on the ballot. There's also commissioner races on the ballot, metro races. There's all kind of races. There's ballot measures that are going to impact them in regards to education and transportation and infrastructure. So there's a lot of work that has to be done, but we want to make sure that we have a seat at the table. We don't want to be on the menu.
Okay. So how are you going to go about getting a seat at the table? How do you get, I'm going to pick on young folks, okay, because it's not my impression that they return their ballots back.
Mm-hmm. That is a huge challenge, to make sure that we get young folks to understand that, because it's their future that's going to be impacted the most. You know, I'm 71 years old, so I'm looking at my, and to be quite honest, I don't look so much at my children as I do my grandchildren, trying to make sure that they have a future with some equity in it and have an opportunity. But like, if we vote and our candidates that we vote for get elected, even if they don't, we still need to hold that candidate's feet to the fire. Whoever wins in office, whether they're the party of your choice or the opposite party, doesn't matter, because they're elected to represent everybody in that particular area, that particular district, and then nationally in this country. And so, and we haven't had that. And so when a candidate does get elected, though, we have to step up and say, you know, write them a letter, send them an email, let them know that you're not happy with the decisions that they're making. That's why you voted for them, was because they were going to make decisions that were going to help you in your livelihood and help you have a better life in this country. And when that doesn't happen, then we need to make sure that we hold, like I say, hold them accountable, let them know that we're not happy with their decision, and we will be looking for somebody else to take their place next go round.
And I guess I would wholly agree with that, but we just have to do it a lot sooner than we have, because we seem to wait until it's almost time for election before we tweak them about how unhappy we are about the job they said they were going to do that they didn't do.
Yes, we have to let them know during the course of their term. We just had a milestone in the IBW. We have the first woman as of September 1st that's an international vice president. That's in the 4th District over on the East Coast.
Oh, really?
That's wow. Never happened right. Since 1891. It's been 129 years that the IBW has been in existence, and this is the first woman to hold one of the top 22 positions in the IBW.
That is sweet.
That is sweet. But she's got some challenges in front of her, and she's going to have to continue to do the good work that she's been doing in order to keep her position. But it's a step in the right direction, and we applaud that, mm-hmm. You know, with the leadership that we have, because he didn't have to do that. He could have appointed one of the guys, like they always do.
Right.
But this time, she was appointed. And so as the president of the EWMC, I sent her a congratulatory letter. Uh-huh. On her getting that position. And I let her know, though, real clearly. I said, you know, it's a milestone. We're proud of you. You've done the good work to get there. And we think it's a great choice that the international president made to appoint you. I said, but we may not always agree with you. I said, we will always support you, but we may not always agree with you. And we'll let you know when we don't agree.
Yeah, because
so that's what we have to do.
Because there is a difference between black politics and white politics.
Yes, 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 a huge difference, a huge difference.
So you hear that, Sister Kenitha, the sky's the limit.
I hear that.
Well, Sister Kenitha, I just wanted to say, because you're in a field, you know, mostly male dominated, and I know you run into a lot of sexism, but during this, we've been talking about election, and I work with a lot of youth. It's so important to encourage these young girls, females, the importance of voting, because you can put people in positions of authority that can reach back and open doors for females. Prime example is Senator Harris, you know, who I hope we have a chance to interact with. But as your position as a female electrician, I know you can see and you've seen and see the sexism that really is apparent in much of the IBEW unions and like a lot of other unions too.
Mm-hmm. So yes, it is. It's very clear. And I have three daughters of my own. I have an 18-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 5-year-old, as far as the girls go. And so I definitely do my part to encourage girls. For one, I think sexism is, I don't pay any attention to it, right? All the things that I like to do are not typical things that females like to do. And I'm okay with it, and I encourage other people, especially other women, to be okay with it. Because I think at the end of the day, you have to do what makes you happy and what makes you feel like you are yourself instead of hiding yourself in order to please other people. But I definitely encourage people to speak their minds and let them know that the sky is the limit. You can do anything as long as you put your mind to it and as long as you believe that. And I think building up our women and our young girls to know that they can be anything that they want to be. It's okay to be, you know, my daughter, she dresses like a tomboy, which I grew up as a tomboy, and I think it's totally fine. She wants to play football. Okay, play football. It doesn't change who you are. You know, do what you love and let that be. Don't let people pick on you for that. Or if you do, ignore it. You know, don't feed into the gossip and the hype that other people think is true. Just be yourself and be okay with that. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're okay with that, nobody can take that away from you. And I do think that that's important to carry on in everything that we do, whether it's work or politics or anything.
Yes. That's the kind of thinking we need for our next female president. Our first
absolutely.
Female president.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
It's really refreshing to get the point of view from young people because, you know, as an older African-American woman in the times that we grew up, you know, things were new to us. We didn't, you know, go through all the same things that our predecessors and our mothers and fathers Windsor, we had a little more opportunity. But I'm really enjoying seeing particularly younger Black women, you know, be strong and proud and sure and confident. And what I would, you know, want some tips to do is the young people have been in the streets for 120 days. How can we also get this voting message to them to back up their action in the streets? Mm-hmm. You know, it's critical.
I think that's a long term. And when I say long term, I don't mean, I'm not talking about 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. But I think, again, when we talk about the fact that racism runs rampant throughout this system in America, education plays a huge part in that. And that's why, you know, it's good to be interested in the police reform and the criminal justice reform. That's all well and good. Mm-hmm. But we have to serve on jury duty as well.
That's right.
And that's a
right.
responsibility that we have. And when we're on juries, we make a difference. We have to also, you know, make sure that, you know, that we're doing what we need to do in the education arena. I'm not an educator, but we have folks in education, and they know the changes that need to be made so our children will have an equal opportunity. Because if you can't read in the sixth, by the time you're in the third grade, then you're way behind.
Right.
You're way behind, and then you're going to continue to fall further behind. You're going to drop out, you know, mentally, and then you're going to drop out physically by the time you're in the ninth grade. We don't need that with our young people. We need our young people to get an education because we know we're the best and brightest.
Right.
And if they get the same education as their counterparts, then they'll be on a level playing field, you know. It'll be the most qualified or the best applicant that gets the position. You know, all that other stuff, when it comes down to it and you look at it, you look at two resumes and they're both the same, then you take, you know, it's almost like flipping a coin. But if you look at a resume from a person of color, a Black, Indigenous, or a person of color that didn't have the same opportunity to get that education, then they're already behind.
Right.
So I'd like to take this time to remind our listeners that they are listening to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. Our guests tonight are Keith Edwards and Kenitha Wade. Both are officers with the Electrical Workers Minority Caucus associated with IBEW. So we've been having this discussion about politics and how 2020 is a pivotal year for us. Because right now, like I said, things are a real hot mess. And this is our opportunity to kind of change things around, at least at the head. And so, Keith, what do you think some of the biggest challenges are going to be?
I think the biggest challenge is for us to stay focused on the big picture. The biggest challenge is to make sure that, you know, we have new allies. This year has been an eye-opener. It's been 2020, clear, perfect vision. And so everything has been revealed to us. Our allies, our new allies are being revealed to us. And a lot of folks are skeptical of that because they think, well, where have they been? Well, they may have been on the fence. They may have been hanging out in the closet or want to be quiet. But, you know, COVID brought George Floyd into everybody's home. And they saw a 2020 lynching of a Black man on TV. And so with that, like I say, we have gained new allies. We need to make sure that we don't alienate ourselves from those allies. We have to all work together toward a common goal. And right now that common goal is to get rid of racism in this country. And that means in every facet, you know. And so don't lose our allies who we have. Let those allies work with us, and sometimes they may take the lead. And we have to also make sure that we convey a message that we're not trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, Some folks say dismantle capitalism, and some people say dismantle the police. And I think that it's not all bad, because now we're accusing folks of the same thing that we've been accused of all our lives, that, you know, yes, one black person is all black people are bad, you
yes,
know.
Of course. Yes.
And so we have to remember that we can't do that. We can't do that. We have to work with folks and make sure that we're keep our eye on the prize, not be distracted by, oh, this person may be LGBTQ.
Mm-hmm.
This person over here may be a white woman. There might be a Russian male, or, you know, mm-hmm, whatever the case may be. That should have nothing to do. If we're all working toward the same goal, then come on, get on board.
So, Sister Kenita, you ready to roll up your sleeves?
Yes, I've rolled up my sleeves. I'm ready to go to work.
Sister Deborah.
I must say, Sister Kenita is very busy, and she is very integral to the success of our future. She sits on the executive board of the local union. She's also on the women's committee. She is involved as a leader in the... She's the president of the Gus Miller chapter of the EWMC. She has a family that she raises. She has a job that she has to go to every day. So she's, you know, she's juggling those balls very well, and she manages her time very well. And so that's you know, that's the challenge that we have to look at and think about. And she's a very good example. I think that, you know, the more folks that see the success that she's having, then she'll have more success, as well as they'll, you know, we'll have success as a whole.
Uh-huh.
And one thing that's been learned, I think, more recently, is that the IBW has finally figured out that diversity, inclusion, and inclusion makes them a better organization.
Yes, get the best of everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So, Sister Deborah, I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Again, along the lines of the biggest challenges, what do you think some of the biggest challenges are going to be based on our conversation?
I think the biggest challenge is for people to really decide to return their ballots. I don't want all the talk that's going on to scare people, and again, to think that, you know, yeah, I have my ballot and I've marked it, but now it's not going to make it, you know. If we can get folks registered them in time, if we can get, you know, the ballots marked, and if folks are leery about putting them in the mail, mm-hmm, return them to them a ballot box or drop them off at your, you know, local elections office. The turnaround times, because I know for the state of Washington, you can register up until October 25th, uh-huh, which does not leave them a lot of time for turnaround. We have mail-in balloting, just like Oregon does.
Yeah.
But that doesn't give folks time, because Election Day is November 3rd. They will go by the postmark method, but Washington was also a state that was warned by the post office that they may not be able to meet their needs for election because of that short turnaround time. So if folks can please get your ballots returned. Don't, you know, vote, but make sure that the ballot gets returned.
Just don't put it on the kitchen table.
If I may, thank you for that, Deborah, because we're telling all our folks involved, you know, across the country, that if you have a mail-in ballot, deliver that ballot to election headquarters yourself. Don't chance it getting in the mail. Not that our post office doesn't work like it's supposed to, but we've got the president and his minions messing with it. So we need to take them out the game.
That's right.
So you're trying to encourage people to use drop boxes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Use drop boxes, or take it out to, if they're in Multnomah County, take it down there on Southeast Morrison.
Check it in, have it verified right there, and you'll know.
Okay, Dr. Terrell, you want to wrap it up for us?
Yes, I'd just like to make a couple of announcements. Of course, the Coalition of Black Trade Unions, we meet the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. Since the coronavirus, we have suspended face-to-face meetings, but we're utilizing Google Hangouts to conduct our meetings, and our next meeting will be held it'll be the second Tuesday in October, whatever date that is. Okay, but our email address is orcbtu10@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. So join us in our evolving adventure of representing Black union workers. So our next meeting will be held October the 5th, 2020. So you can use Google Hangouts to connect with us. And I'd just like to say that again, and extend a special invite to Brother Keith Edwards and Sister Kenetta, that you're welcome to come. I'm getting the kids together, the youth, again on Saturday. And we talk about everything. And thank you, Brother Keith, for showing up on our last gathering, talking about not only being an electrical worker, but and getting an apprenticeship program, but also the importance of voting and how it's affecting them. So again, the Dr. Audrey Trail Institute, we will meet 12 to 2. Thank you.
All right. Well, it looks like we're at our witching hour. And I want to take this opportunity to thank Brother Edwards and Sister Wade for coming out and encouraging our Black community to get out and vote. Because if you don't get out and vote, then folks are not going to know what your needs are. This is a perfect time to get in front of those legislatures, let them know what your needs are, and then do a quick double back with them to make sure that they really are paying attention to what your needs are. Okay? Any thank last words?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for the invite.
All right.
Yes.
All right, so it's that witching hour, and I'm gonna say holla.
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 Thanks for listening.